It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to another exciting adventure of the Three Wise Men with returning guests and anchors of the show. Aaron Haddad, a.k.a. Sandow, a.k.a. Idol, and the one and only Trevor Murdoch, who just has kept his gimmick name the entire time. So actually, I'm proud of him that he was able to do that.
I've had to fight for it, but I did it.
You did it. You held on to it. Good for you. What up, fellas? Sir. How are you guys?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Still dealing with the craziness of being a New York Times bestseller. I still kind of don't get it, but I'm like trying to like just go about my day and not really let it, you know, you don't want to become a dick, you know what I'm saying? Like all of a sudden where every time I see somebody, I introduce myself as a New York Times bestseller, because it's right up there with like a knighthood, apparently. It's like
well, it's a different kind of dick. You know what I mean? As opposed to just being like, hi, how are you, sir? Get out of my face. Hi, I'm a New York Times bestselling author.
So I really shouldn't be talking to you right now. I don't believe you're on any list at all. So
I've maybe, you know, seen some people, I'm not going to mention any names, not be the nicest to people before.
So you're accusing me of being mean to people.
Say that at all. This is your show, and
It's our show, and Trevor will attest to the fact that I'm usually generally warm and fluffy and nice to people. I think being honest to people shouldn't be a crime.
Well, it is, though. Like, people getting their feelings hurt nowadays. You're a dick if you hurt people's feelings, to be honest with them.
So, yeah, well, that's who I am, and I don't have to be a New York Times bestseller for that. I was broke ass Tyrus, and I still would do that. So, but speaking of that, so obviously upset is the key word, Trevor, because you know looks like every time you turn on the TV, there's a different protest going on. Somebody's booing somebody. Somebody doesn't like somebody, and in the world of wrestling, I mean, that pretty much that's one of the goals, is to make people hate you to the point where they would like protest your presence. And, you know, especially you training with Harley, I know that you probably heard, I mean, because he was either loved by everybody or like hated. Like he couldn't even, he had to sneak out of buildings because they would wait for him at his car and throw eggs and rocks at him. I mean, he had that kind of heat, we like to say in the business or in the sport. Is it still possible to do that today?
I think so, but I don't think it'll ever get to like the levels of what they had to. You know, to their credit, like people believed wholeheartedly that Harley was this evil ass nobody could beat up. You know what I mean? He was very good at taking an opponent and making him look like he could beat him, and then at the very end, beat him.
Right.
And that's like in real life, that's like the biggest bully, because there's nothing worse than a guy who can bully you around, talk smack to you, and you can't kick his ass.
Right.
Like that's real life heat. Like people understand that. And for him, they believed it 100%. But nowadays, man, you really got to strike a nerve to get that kind of heat. We have been too exposed, in my opinion, it ever to get to that level.
Because and Aaron, it's become such a verbal sport now. Mm-hmm. It used to be just a look of disdain or your body language or the way you carried yourself could get reactions out of people. Now it seems like it's just gone to the cheap, you always would say this, the cheap pop. Like I look at what Sergeant Slaughter did when during the Iraq war, he came out and was basically, without saying it, supporting Iraq. And Sergeant Slaughter was probably one of the most beloved wrestlers on the planet.
Ever, in my opinion, like ever in the business. Only because, like to your point, right? Like how you had Sergeant Slaughter who still is to this day. The man is a living G.I. Joe. He transcends the sport of wrestling because, I mean, there's, you know, the G.I. Joe action figures. Of
which I had.
He was, yeah, he was in the cartoon.
We all had him.
He was just this truly like a larger than life persona. And, you know, Sarge didn't have to say a lot when he was a babyface or a good guy, which in the wrestling business, babyface means good guy. And he would just like stand there. He had like the, you know, the glasses, the hat, that big chin. And he would just kind of, you know, keep his real like kind of verbal interaction kind of brief a little bit, you know, as opposed to.
He didn't have to say much. You just, no. You know, Ten Hut, do what's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like that's lost because in the sport of wrestling, like we're in NWA, we're trying to make it different. We're trying to kind of take what was good about the industry for the last like 30 or 40 years and bring some of it back. Because today I think in a culture of kind of the instant gratification, shock value, everyone, if they get 30 seconds on TV, they want to say as much as they want to say and
yes.
try to like say something outlandish. And do them like whether it's a flip or a move just for the sake of doing it so it can be on an Instagram kind of gift to where like and it's funny. It's the way people process information. A lot of people today are used to like the 10-second Instagram videos of people like doing parkour and wiping out and things like that, as opposed to watching sitcoms where you actually have to care about the characters. And I think wrestling is no different than that. In that if you can really create a character and you have the time to develop that persona, people will without a doubt kind of follow what you do and be into what you do. And a lot of that is the body language, the way you stand, like Harley, we were talking about, like just the mannerisms, his mere presence was enough.
Well, and that's what a real man, you know, people used to be scared of that cat when he went into stores, like people, can I shake your hand? And that was still when he was in his 60s and 70s. A believability factor is missing huge. And I'm glad you brought up NWA, Aaron, because if you look at all of the wrestlers, even on the female end of it, they all look like somebody that you wouldn't want to mess with if they got angry. And that's a big part of what's missing from pro wrestling is that believability, in my opinion.
Trevor, how much of that do you think in – I go back to when you watch stuff from the other eras, the announcers' whole responsibility was to put over the guy in the ring as one of the best, most aggressive, toughest human beings on the planet. Gorilla Monsoon painted a picture of Don Morocco with his taped fingers and everything down to the way he looks is this just despicable individual who could rip your throat out at any minute. And Ricky Steamboat was the essence of everything that you want to be, hard work, integrity. But they told those stories. They never buried, and what we call in this business, buried the guy. It was their job. It wasn't just to hear the sound of their own voice, which I think the biggest thing that has hurt the wrestling business in terms of fans believing outside the internet is the lack of respect that's given to the product in the ring by the people supposedly guiding you through the story. That's what an announcer is. I mean, it's just like if you're watching the NFL and the entire time the announcers were talking about a baseball game. You know what I'm saying? You would be like, whoa, man, Tom Brady's not that great because the guys talking about him don't think anything about it. You know, and yes. So that's one thing I think has to be fixed because we can't stop the internet. You can't. You can't stop how much smart marks influence and some networks. That's all they do. That's all they cater to. But
no. And if I
go ahead,
if I could say something real quick, like when you bring that up, Tyrus, that's an amazing point because and we've discussed this. I think we've all discussed this several times. Like when you have an industry today, right? That is, you know, again, in every kind of media outlet you can think of, right? We have streaming services, we have network television, pay-per-view, like you name it, wrestling's in it. And a lot of that, you know, you're going to have people that are going to give their opinions of the shows, and I think that's wonderful, right? Like there's always been, we call them the dirt sheets. And for the listeners, how would you describe the dirt sheets? They're just like little, like in mainstream sports, because I don't follow mainstream sports. So what would that be, Trevor and Tyrus? What?
I don't think mainstream sports has dirt sheets. Like they have just the news. Dirt sheets are basically, in my opinion, like things that people try to feel like they're in the know, like backstage like stuff that they shouldn't know. It's, and it could be true. We live in a world of journalism where it's better to just put it out there. And if it's true, great. If not, we'll let the people just give an opinion about it, not the actual news. And that's what I feel like the dirt sheets are.
Yeah. And my major criticism of a lot of the dirt sheets, you have people that are like some of the more well-known names. I'm not going to name anything specifically, but, you know, giving these like it from a 1 to 5 star rating. Right. And in an industry, in a sport that is predicated on the fans' response, on evoking an emotional response out of the audience, because it is very much the theater in that sense, right? We need a protagonist, an antagonist, conflict resolution. We just happen to do it in spandex in a ring. But when you have someone critiquing something that they have never physically done before, and you know, instead of critiquing the fan response, instead of critiquing, wow, these, you know, these athletes are getting people to watch them, they're getting people to get involved, the building is rocking, they're saying, oh wow, I really like that flip, I really like that special thing, this was a 5-star match, when in essence it could be a 5-star match with people that don't care. So why are we doing this to our bodies? And I think like the shift has gone from like just a complete like, hey, wrestling is cool, to something that professional wrestling was never designed to be. And it's like figure skating. No, we're not.
Well, can I capitalize on that to kind of round circle, go back to the announcers talking about what we were doing in the ring? Mm-hmm. The lack of experience. You talk about Gorilla Monsoon. He'd actually been in the ring. He'd been around somewhere. Bobby Heenan, been around somewhere. Jesse Ventura, been in the ring, been around. The announcers today for wrestling seem to have very little in-ring experience, or have very little in-ring or just wrestling experience, just time around it. I think they put a lot of pretty faces up there. They think they have a great voice. Again, it's like Aaron said, or Tiger said, watching a football game while they're talking about baseball.
Yeah, and that drives me absolutely nuts when I would hear them talk about another, or even worse, like Trevor and I are wrestling, and they're talking about Aaron and Austin Idol's feud, you know, and it's like, wait a minute. Like,
there'd be a lot to talk about there, but can you really blame him for talking about
me? Yeah, they'd be talking about how one-sided it was, and a man his age putting hands on you like that, embarrassing you in front of your friends and family. But
and he'd make him look like
run up, get done up.
$1 million.
Yeah. And tell him about it the entire time and charge him. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit. In a bit? What is my name, Lance?
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. Congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
But, you know, that's the one thing is like painting pictures is so – it's not just the guys in the ring, and it's the guys telling the story in the ring. And I know that's why – and I'm getting to the point where – like I've just started doing some commentary for NWA, and I honestly leave my stuff at the door. So I'm not on there to insult and go after or try to get myself over. I'm trying to, and as a fan, I'm always going to be a fan of the sport of wrestling, and being able to talk, like use my insight for being in that ring, but at the same time, be respectful of, I guess that's the key word. It's about respect and being respectful of the guys in the ring working. And it's their time right now. So a lot of times when guys go on and they start talking about themselves, I find it annoying. Jesse the Body, who was probably the most famous, what we'd say, bad guy announcers, he might have had disdain for like a Hulk Hogan, but he would never, ever take anything away. His disdain was always complaining about how great he was. And there's a difference there between like making fun of a guy. Because when you start making fun of a guy or belittling a guy, the people watching, that's what they're hearing. So everything he does, well, I mean, if his own peers don't respect him, then what the hell? Like, it's the art of talking has been grossly, the award for talking has been grossly over award. I'll hear a guy like, oh, he's great on the mic. And then I'll hear him talk, and I'm like, that's not great. That's just a guy who remembers his lines, you know. And we see that. I recently heard some guy talk about how personal it was between him and another. And I was like, that didn't come off to me as personal at all. You know,
the problem is, and no, I'm sorry. I heard rumors of like them fining people for going off script. And then as far as the announcers go, I think in WWE, Vince is still in their ear telling them what to say. So it's like a robot.
Yeah, and that's a different thing, because if the boss speaks, of course you got to do it. And I'm not blaming, I'm not always blaming the announcers. I'm blaming just the business. And it bothers me because Vince is the godfather of everything that we do. You cannot, doesn't matter whether you work for him, liked him, not liked him. If you were in the sport of wrestling and you were born anytime from 1970 to 2010, every bit of wrestling has Vince McMahon's fingerprints on it, whether you like it or not. And if you're competing to beat him, why? Because you were inspired by him. You know what I'm saying? So even if you hate everything about him, he's the reason why you're doing it. He's the bar. So unfortunately, if he wants to amuse himself, he's going to do it. And unfortunately, I've been on the expense of that. I've had to deal with that. Yeah, and I've hated it. You know, I had my last match on SmackDown against Miz. He had, and I'm a heel at the time, and he had Wade Barrett come out and bury me in front of the audience. Not a fun place to be, and I hated it. But that was the card I was dealt, and, you know, instead of, and I had to move on from it. So we've all been there, you know, and so, and it does suck.
You were enhancing the angle.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about enhancing in a minute. Yes. And now I want, before, because we're going to talk about a grossly misrepresented group of legends in the wrestling business. But before that, so a few weeks ago, Trevor, and I know you religiously support and watch the Three Wise Men. I said that with a question mark because last week we had Tevita on there. He wrestles in New Japan and he's Haku's son. And, he afterwards informed me when I asked him if he had any criticism to the show or whatever. He said, yeah, you didn't say Three Wise Men with a question mark enough. And I said, what? For real? I was like, I'm very sorry. And he's like, no, it's your show. You do whatever you want with it. But I'm just saying it's a little confusing when you say it like a statement and then a question mark. So I apologize to everybody for not always saying Three Wise Men with a question on the end of it. Okay. So I apologize to everyone who I've offended. But having said that.
Yeah. I didn't know it was an issue.
Yeah, I didn't know it was either, but, you know, that's what you get when you bring buddies on. But
well, no, that's the great thing. We live in America. Everybody
it has an opinion. Yep. And
that's right.
It's just sometimes you keep this to yourself. But so the podcast before that, it was Aaron and my good former tag team partner and friend, Santino.
He's my friend, too, kind of.
Yeah, you lived with him. And so, but like, we were like, whatever. It's not a competition, Aaron. I'm not going to call him up and be like, who do you like better? Because
I was saying that because this is an unbiased argument here. Like, it's like we're both friends, and I was just bringing up a point. It's not like I hate Santino and I'm trying to, you know.
No, I felt like you were competing with me once again, but it's all good.
No,
I
mean, it's not a competition.
I'm the reigning, defending world television champion for the NWA and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm not rubbing any of that in your face.
Oh, you know what? Let me
two-bit loser.
Pen my life story, and I'll have it done in a jiffy.
You get right on that, and I'll buy one because you're my friend, and Trevor will borrow my book. So, you know, good luck with that.
I'll buy one for my grandma.
I still haven't gotten a copy of yours. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, it's available online, Aaron, at any time. But then again, as Gorilla Monsoon would say to Bobby Heenan, the only meal you like is a free one. So,
well, yeah, online, like, what do we want to do? Email you and say, hey, give me a book? Like,
yeah,
okay,
I'm surprised you didn't. It could actually be because I got a guy who wants to buy one. Santino talked about he went whitewater rafting, and he had said that he took a shot of whiskey before he went to loosen his muscles up, Trevor, you know. And I said, I get it. I probably would have done the same thing. Well, apparently, it was very offensive to Aaron. Aaron was beyond. Now, I don't have the technology to replay the tape because, well, Kate said she just doesn't have time for that. But
I don't think tapes are over anymore. I think tapes went out of the window. Above.
Okay, recording. You want a medal for that?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Okay, like, yeah. I have a feeling you're going to be busy next week, but I have the transcripts, but more or less, Aaron basically said that Santino and I were completely unprofessional, and how dare we ever condone alcohol as an acceptable thing when you're doing anything that requires driving or watering or surfing or et cetera, et cetera. And it was kind of a big incident. Well, lo and behold, this last weekend, our dear friend Santino went whitewater rafting in a canoe, and he had an accident. Now, he's fine. He's fine. He was able to swim himself to shore, but he also said that he was not the greatest swimmer. So that was more of an issue. But luckily, he had taken a shot of whiskey, and he was limber enough not to get hurt during the crash. So obviously, I wanted to have Santino here, but unfortunately, he's got something going on. He's opening a new battle arts academy, so he wasn't be able to do here today. But Kate was listening to me talk about it. She literally just on Fox Nation, we have shows where they do adventures and stuff, and they just came off doing a show in Colorado with a whitewater rafting team. And so she reached out to JD, who is a whitewater rafting instructor, and he is going to come on today, and he's going to settle this argument between me and Aaron whether it's better to drink whiskey or any type of alcohol before you whitewater raft, or you should never do that. So, and Trevor, please feel free to ask any questions or add your expertise to it. And Aaron, I really need you to be an adult and accept whatever this guy says. If he tells me I'm wrong, I'm going to be a man about it and accept it. And if he tells me you're wrong, you need to be at least a middle-aged teenager and accept it. Is that at least fair? Do you agree to those terms?
100%. We have an accord.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me check with Kate. Do we have JD? JD is with us. Hi, JD. Tyrus here from the Three Wise Men. And I have my good friends Trevor Murdoch and Aaron. And we just... I don't know if you were listening, but so the question is, sir, is it better to drink before you whitewater raft, or is it better to be sober when you whitewater raft, I guess, is the question.
Well, hey, guys. First of all, thanks for having me. I was listening to the show, and you guys mentioned having a shot.
Yes.
A shot of some alcohol or something like that. You should definitely not have a shot. You should have... several shots.
Oh, I knew it.
All right. I like this guy.
Yeah, no, it's scary. I mean, you look at the waves and they're crashing down, and the velocity of the water, it's just scary. And sometimes you have a shot or two or seven, and you just it loosens.
Wait a minute. Okay, so wait a minute. All right, now what you're saying basically is that you can get hammered. You're suggesting to get hammered before you get a go white water or raft.
Yes, he is, Trevor, because it's
I've
a very
up a tolerance.
Yes.
So I don't get drunk on seven shots, but
are you what?
Very cold, and the shock to your body is quite significant. So if you have a few minutes to loosen up, the nervous system, then you fall in the water, and you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine.
Because let me ask you this.
May I ask you something?
Oh, go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead.
And what does JD stand for? Just drunk? Because
you know what? I'm so sorry. How dare you? We talked about this. Yeah. You will not insult the guest. His name is Jacques Daniels. How dare you? How dare you?
Daniels.
How dare you? And I thought, like, be Jeff better Daniels, just because
I'm a guest. I'm so sorry, sir.
I know,
Mr. Daniels.
Yes, please, Aaron, with some decorum.
I'm going to act like a middle-aged teenager now. Mr. Daniels.
My name is not Daniel. It's Daniel.
Daniel. Okay.
Mr. Daniels.
Daniel. Yeah.
Yes. When you just said you can tolerate seven shots before going whitewater rafting. Now, you are kind of a whitewater rafting expert, and you claim that.
Oh, I've been a guide for about 15 years. Yeah.
Okay.
15 years.
It is not okay, though, for the average person to do it, because we had a friend who went whitewater rafting this past weekend. And in fact, the friend was a proponent of having a shot to loosen the system up before going. And he almost had an accident because the goal of whitewater rafting is to stay on the raft. And, you know, they have a thing, and I'm going to stand by this. It's drive sober or get pulled over. Well, I have a saying now, and it's called raft crunk, get dunked, because you're going to end up out of the boat and it's not going to be good. And I really think you should rethink that statement, because we should not encourage people to be consuming alcohol while, you know, frolicking on the river.
Well, you know what, Aaron?
Okay, Trevor, let me tell you, Trevor.
This is Aaron, JD.
Aaron, okay. So have you ever done skydiving?
I have not.
Yeah, well, you're going to probably have a couple of drinks before that, too. You know, when guys are sitting in a tree stand about to shoot a deer, they probably have a couple of drinks, too. It just helps you overcome a little bit of fear.
You know what? That's the most truthful statement I've heard out of you since you got on here.
You know,
you do take a couple of shots to get warmed up.
Exactly. And here's the deal. River rafting is a sobering experience. So even if you drink, you're going to be sobered up at the end of it, because it's a traumatic event. And I don't know if you're aware, but our dear sweet friend, Santino, probably first ballot Hall of Famer, I would imagine, in the WWE.
First ballot.
And he has several successful battle art academies all through Canada. He's franchising. He's quite an amazing guy. He actually
going up and blowing up.
He got into an accident. He had an accident whitewater rafting, and he was able to swim and get himself to shore just because he never skips a leg day. But he was very adamant about that. And my question was, do you think it was that he maybe had a shot under your thought process that he was able not to break a leg or a neck or even drown because he was loose and limber and relaxed?
Well, the first thing you need is your life preserver.
Right.
And then you'll float, right? So that takes, and you need a helmet. And if you fall in, you're going to be protected. But
you're going to be what?
Definitely,
sir?
Stiffen up. As soon as you touch that cold water, you'll stiffen up. Because a lot of the water, it is runoff from the mountains. And the mountain water is very cold. So it can definitely shock the body. But
what they used to make whiskey with.
Mountain water is great for whiskey. I like this guy, Trevor.
Oh, and, man.
Yeah, is he okay, your buddy?
Yeah, he's fine. He's bulletproof. Aaron, no, Aaron's going to take a while to get this. Sir, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate
okay, boys,
it. You've cleared up this whole thing. Yes.
When life gives you rapids, you paddle harder.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your extra opinion, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, JD, keep that heart in the game, man. All right.
Okay, well, bye.
All right. You're listening to the Three Wise Men, and we'll be right back after this.
You know what I took from all that?
What, Aaron?
You insinuated that I skipped leg day, which I never do.
I've never seen you do a leg day.
I may have skinny calves, but my quads and my hamstrings are very, very well proportioned.
Can I see one photo of you doing a squat, and I will never question it again?
Look at my quads and my hamstrings.
I don't have They're to very look. Well proportioned. It's very simple. Just a squat.
Fine.
Okay, and we'll make it the cover of the Three Wise Men.
Well, I am going to post a squat, and I never do gym selfies. Just for this show, I am going to post a squat video.
I appreciate it. The viewership appreciates it. Kate appreciates it, because we're all about authenticity and honesty, and I couldn't have had a better guest, man. Jack Daniel, and I can't believe how rude you were to him. So I'm calling
Jack
Daniel.
Jack,
whatever. You flustered him.
You brought a guy in the show named Jack Daniels to talk about drinking? Wait a minute. Like, come on, man.
Kate found him. Kate found him. So
She needs to be checking people's credentials, because the next thing that guy's going to tell us is to smoke a fat one and go rock climbing.
You know what? He might have. We didn't get to there. But if Aaron ever disses one of my friends, you know. But
take mushrooms and go bike riding in downtown Toronto.
But speaking of going down the rapids, enhancement guys, and we're going to wrap up the show with this. So one of the things that we talked about in kind of molding this show was we would take time to recognize a legend in the sport of wrestling that we all have dedicated our lives to. And I think it's important to always remember the guys who paved the ring before you with their blood and sweat and them having to work basically their entire adult life So we were able to have the things we have today. I think, and we were discussing it, you know, and we were trying to think of guys to talk about. And I don't know if it was Aaron or Trevor that came up with the idea. They wanted to talk about Barry Horowitz or guys who were called jobbers or enhancement guys. Because I've always took, and I thought, man, what a great idea, because that is such not a wrestling term. That is something that the web, internet marks have put on guys who, because they clearly don't get it. Like, you want to, like, just for the, like, for the jerks who are always like, oh, wrestling's fake. Well, okay, if that's true, if wrestling's fake, then everybody is doing a theatric performance, so nobody's a jobber, you know? So you got to make up your mind. But, you know, because most of the most important jobs back then was when you were trying to get a guy to superstardom, it was the guys that he worked that determined how far he went. And that SD Jones, Barry Horowitz, Vince Lombardi, there's a ton of list of guys that would, in WCW, it was like the Italian Stallion, or there was the James Southern. There was so many guys that, like, you know, Kendall Windham to a certain extent. There was guys across the board that. Go ahead, Aaron.
I'm going to mention this, but like, they're not, but like a Brad Armstrong, who doesn't get the credit he deserves for being an incredible in-ring talent. And like, I don't even want to talk about him in that category, but he was kind of used like that. So I just want to throw him in.
Well, and he was a great trainer. I had the honor and privilege of he actually taught me to do a head scissor takeover, real talk. I've only broke it out one time, but I might have to break it out just in honor of him. Because when I said, I don't do that, he said, sure you can. And, you know, and when I did it, I felt like $1 million, you know, but
that's cool.
The entire Armstrong family, we could have a whole episode on, like from top to bottom, Bullet Bob, all Scott Armstrong, Road Dog, you know, Trace, you could go through and Brad. I don't think there is a bigger family that has given more to the sport than the Armstrongs. I mean, not just as competitors and performers, but also as trainers and referees and guys who I don't know as far as ring timing and ring experience, especially Scott Armstrong when he was a referee. Yes. He would be teaching you while you're working. You would learn things. Like you would, you know, and sometimes when you lose, it's not the best feeling in the world. You know, and the crowd is, you know, is giving you. And then you'd hear this voice who said, stay down for a minute.
Yep.
Soak it up. Get up slowly. Let the crowd appreciate you. And all of a sudden, they're cheering for you. Yep. And you look at him and he's like, yeah, it's that simple. But you that way.
Those guys got it. They understood the business that even if you have to lose, there's a way to do it where it still elevates everybody and you don't quote unquote lose. Reverting back to the jobber statement, like the fans think that a guy going out there and losing more than once, not getting a big push, that the company doesn't like them or they're not talented. But in my opinion, they're more talented than the top guys, because those are the guys, i.e. the Armstrongs, that could go out there and wrestle anybody. The guy that didn't have hardly any experience to the guy that was the best in the business. And they could go out there and tell any story with anybody. And you guys know, in this business, it's hard to find people that have that mentality. And the Armstrongs had it, guys like Barry Horowitz, all those guys you were talking about, they got it. They understood what was the most important thing, and wasn't always about them.
No doubt.
And I, you know, in modern times, when I think of somebody who could have been a top guy in the business, no question. When I think of guys like TJ Wilson, one of the most technically sound guys. Mike Taylor would be another name that came to mind. But I wrestled, TJ and I were friends. We trained together. I don't think there was an Xbox or PlayStation game we didn't play, but being in the ring with him and getting his respect was one of the probably highlights of my career in terms of, like, because he's a guy who, like, it's his whole, he trained, like, people say I've been in the Hart dungeon. He was the definition of being in the Hart dungeon. Like, his story in itself is amazing. And I trained with him and Natty and me. I don't know how many hours we spent at Deep South rolling around together with Harry Smith and stuff. So I go way back with those guys. But I wrestled TJ in Mexico. And I was a heel, and I was like, it was before the Funkasaurus stuff, and I was just coming off of NXT, and him and I went, I think we went 20 minutes in Mexico, and TJ was the guy, like, after you worked TJ, John Laurinaitis would call TJ and be like, what do you think? And TJ was brutally honest. I mean, that's the one thing I loved about TJ. You never had to ask TJ what he thought of you or what he thought about you, because you knew if you were the, quote, the you knew it. And, you know,
that's the only way you get better.
That's the only way.
On the back.
And, you know, when he said, yeah, I'll work at the time, it was, I'll work Brodus any day of the week, man. And we had some crazy moments in there with the crowd and stuff. And we also had Armstrong as the referee. And he was like, he knows your moves almost before you do. And I shot him a look when he was trying to get me off TJ, and the place went nuts. And I still couldn't figure out what they went nuts over, but it was my reaction to him, but his reaction to me that made the crowd just explode. Like, don't you hit that referee. And, you know, and it was just one of those things where guys like that, when you look back at history, guys who got guys ready, there needs to be a special spot in the Hall of Fame for them. I
totally agree.
All the top guys, Undertaker, I get it. They, of course, their first ballot Hall of Fames, but you need to start, like, the Ultimate Warrior would never have been the Ultimate Warrior if he didn't have guys going in there and just getting laid to waste by him. You know, there needs to be a place, and that's how you change that whole narrative. You know, when a fan's like, oh, you're a jobber. No, he is one of the best in the world. That's why he's in the WWE. The difference between him and somebody else is that they aren't getting the push.
Do you know what I equate this to? And again, we're all on the same page, which is amazing, actually. But how the whole, like, if it was a movie, right? Because, again, we're going to go to theatrical kind of analysis of it. You guys have all seen the movie The Warriors.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Cyrus at the beginning, you know, can you dig it? Right. When he's the leader trying to unite everybody, his part, he's only there for like a minute and a half, maybe on screen. He cuts his promo and then he gets shot. So he's not a main part of the movie, but without him, the movie doesn't exist.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what you can equate to a lot of the guys that go in there to build up these other characters, and they kind of sacrifice themselves. Again, from a storyline purpose, but, you know, if Cyrus hadn't done that job and been such an iconic part of that movie, the movie wouldn't have been the success it is. So it's like, you know, you got to give credit to the guys that they do. They get in there and they make the people like Ultimate Warrior or whoever, really, like, you know, look that good. And with that, the announcers putting Warrior over to what you said, Tyrus, too. So it's like, again, everyone's working together, and these people that are so-called smart marks and analysis or whatever, you know, the star ratings and stuff, if they truly were smart to the business, they would approach it like
that. They would hold those guys in high regard. And you know what? To your point, what is the one catchphrase from that movie? I mean, Shaquille O'Neal has literally made it his thing. I mean,
can you dig it?
Can you dig it? And that's what is remembered. If you say, can you dig it, people will go Warriors. You could take the star of that show, who was the last guy standing at the end, and they won't know him unless they saw it. So it's the little things that you remember. Yep. And so, I mean, I just feel like there needs to be, if it comes from within, if the respect comes from within, from the guy who doesn't get an entrance, and we've all been that guy, where you just show up and put your arm up, you know, Barry O, you know what I'm saying? And like, and you have your nice outfit just to take it off. And then you get a little bug in your ear that you got 3 minutes, brother, you know, and you're like, well, here we go.
I'm about to get beat up by Undertaker and Batista for no reason, but we're going to get this angle over.
It's over, brother. And, you know, but there needs to be, the respect needs to come from within. And I myself will never, ever call a guy a jobber. A guy on the end of a squash match, all those times. And I've been benefited from that. You know, I benefited from, you know, the Funkasaurus. And when I first started, guys were getting laid out within 3 minutes. And, you know, I'll never forget Brian Myers, who, like, volunteered to be the first match. JTG, I mean, there were so many guys that were like, hey, we get it. We know what's going on. And then to then it's your turn to do the reciprocal. And even sometimes it's more difficult as a big guy because everyone just doesn't expect you to. When you do lose, they make a bigger deal out of it, you know. So yeah. that's the downside of it, is because you catch hell for being a big guy. And that's why guys like Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, they were so protective over that, not because they were arrogant to like, oh, I don't lose, because they knew that the illusion of them was more important for the business than it was. Like when Andre got beat by Hogan, it was nuts because no one had seen him get beat before. So that gimmick, eventually you pay it off and somebody benefits from it. That benefited Hogan. Like, I would always get upset with the way that Big Show was treated. Big Show never, ever should have been just beaten on TV, ever.
Yep. Yes.
And it's not anything about Big Show other than it makes everybody else look more believable across the board. Because if he's unbeatable and then finally Triple H and him meet at WrestleMania and he gets him, all of a sudden Triple H is to the next level. Not that Triple H needs any more levels to ascend. I mean, he is what he is, and he's another first ballot Hall of Famer whenever he wants it. And with like three different, I mean, he DX,
yeah,
just himself, and even Hunter Hearst Helmsley, where he was an enhancement guy. I mean, his match with Warrior at Mania, even though he was in Mania, was like, what, 3 minutes? I mean,
that, and then he kicked out of his finish instantly. And
and then smoked him. So,
yep.
But that brought the Warrior back. Like, he was back after that. You know, he just beat a three-time Intercontinental Champion in like three minutes. But the point is that we need to – it's not about wins and losses in wrestling. It's about the story. And everybody benefits from a great story. I guess that's where it's at. And you can't have a great story if you don't have the ST, if you don't have the Brooklyn Brawlers, if you don't have those guys, you don't have great stories. Bottom line, period, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right on.
All right. Well, what did we learn today?
Well, yeah, Trev. Yeah,
apparently, apparently you can drink a fifth of fucking Jack. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You don't have to apologize. We got beepers. It's all good.
Okay. Apparently, you can drink a fifth of Jack Daniels and do any high stress sport, I guess. I guess from our expert, right?
Yep. Jacques Daniel. Yes, not Daniels.
Jacques Daniels. Yeah.
How rude of you. We're going to bring him back on. I feel like he had a lot to add.
Yeah, suffering succotash.
Well, he's obviously had an accident or two, you know, but I didn't want to talk about a speech impediment, but he probably broke lost a few teeth swimming in rocks at a high level, I would imagine.
Well, having Jacques Daniels as a name, yeah, I guess that's an issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aaron, why are you laughing? Aaron? What did you learn
today?
Well,
again, I learned that if you're going to bring someone in to be an expert on consuming alcohol and doing activities, that their name should probably not be Jacques Daniels.
Daniel. It's Daniel. There's no S. It's very disrespectful of you.
Completely negates.
We don't call you Aarons. You want me to call you Aarons?
You know, you can. I've been known to have kind of like different, you know, even now in NWA where I have, you know, different personas and everything. That's fine. In fact, that should probably be my new name.
Yes, Aarons. There you go. Well,
you know, we'll change that in a jiffy.
All right, copyright it.
Mm-hmm.
So did you learn anything at all, smartass?
Yes. I learned actually quite a bit. You know, I learned that we are in agreement when it comes to how the business should be, which I think we've kind of known that, but it's nice to say it publicly.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to my first statement where, like, I think the next person that's going to kind of be this this expert on consuming alcohol and doing things, their name should not be Jacques Daniels, you know, Jim Beam, anything like that. Like, I think we should just have like a Tom Smith, something very, someone neutral, if you will.
Like a Nick Aldis or someone to that extent.
I'd be fine. Yeah. Just okay. Like
right. We'll ask Nick. We'll ask Nick. We'll ask Nick to be the next expert on something.
Go ahead. Reach out to him and do it.
Okay. All right. We'll do. All right. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been Trevor Murdoch, Aarons, and Tyrus. Enough said.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.